I had this thought going through my head yesterday about the reward that's coming. And I was thinking there was a verse somewhere, and it's in Revelation chapter 22, right there at the end. Amen. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. You know, there's a reward coming. There's a time of rejoicing that's coming. And I know I talk to people during the week, and sometimes I'm going through some struggles, I'm going through some tough stuff, and I talk to other people who are dealing with things, and somehow we make it. We cry out to God. Sometimes we're not even that smart to do that. And then later on we go, okay, God, I need your help. I just can't handle this anymore. But I want you to know, and this is the encouragement that God gave me even last night and this morning, is, you know, for all of our work, for all of our struggles, for all of our difficulties, there's a reward coming. There's a blessing coming. And, you know, it may not come in the time that we want, as far as, you know, God, well, what about right now? I want a reward and a blessing in the next 2 days. Maybe, you know, if you do have an urgent deadline, I think you can bring that to him also and say, God, I need you to come through for me, because here's what's got to happen on such and such a day. But in general, as we go through this life, as we walk with God and we walk in this world, we're going to have difficulties, we're going to have trouble, we're going to have things that come against us, whether it's people or just stuff within, you know, depressions or temptations. And, you know, if I say anything this morning that you should remember when you go home today, if you forget everything else, just understand and know that this isn't going to last forever. The difficulties are going to pass, and you're going to see Jesus one of these days if you persevere and you just hang in there. It's all going to be taken care of. You know, maybe not everything in this life is all going to be straightened out and all wonderful, but I think it can be better than it is. But the point is, it's all going to be made right. You know, the creator of the heavens, the creator of the earth, the creator of you and I is the one who keeps the books. Amen? He keeps an accurate record of what's been done, of the things that have happened to our lives, the things that that actually deserve a reward according to his word. And he is not one who says, well, too bad. Yeah, I promised a reward, but I decided not to. You know what? When he promises, his promises are yes and amen. God is faithful. You know, among all the differences between God and people, that's probably one of the bigger ones. He is faithful. So, if you can hear just one thing, hang in there, because the reward is coming. Hang in there, the blessing's coming. Hang in there, it's going to be all right. You're going to make it. Amen? Jesus, I mean, this path, I'm going to read it again from Revelation 22:12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. You understand that Jesus is coming. There's coming a day when you're going to see him face to face. Whether he breaks open the sky this afternoon and we see him and we're caught up to be with him, or whether you know, it's going to take a few years and you're going to end up passing from this life, your earthly body is going to die and your spirit man is going to go to be with him. The reward is with him. Amen. The reward is in his hand. I just want you to know it's coming. It's going to be all right. You're going to make it. Amen. Just hang in there. Hallelujah. Almost seems like a downer here. I'm going to read a verse from 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, and I suppose Paul wants us to know this. I guess I would like us to know this too. Just be reminded, you know, that in the last days, perilous times will come. In the last days, we are living in the last days. We're living in a time when it's not going to be too long before we see Jesus face to face. But there's going to be some tough times between now and then. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. Almost seems impossible to turn away from them. I know what Paul is saying here. Don't hang out with the people who are in this crowd here, you know, the lovers of themselves. And I think the word to us as believers, as children of God, you ought to spend as much time as you can hanging out with the people of God. You ought to have some fellowship. And I'm not just talking about Sunday morning. And I'm not just talking about Wednesday night or a Saturday morning prayer meeting. I'm talking about make an effort to be together with other believers. And when they start getting a little bit down, you can build them up and you can pick them up and you can give them an encouraging word. When you start getting down, hopefully they'll pick you up and they'll help you up. Amen? The world certainly isn't going to do that. I think sometimes people in the world, if this description here is accurate, and I think it is, the people in the world, if they're lovers of self, you know, when you're down, they'll say, see you later. I can't help you. I'm not going to help you because it's going to cost me something. When it comes to the people of God, when we see our brothers and sisters struggling and suffering and they're down, we want to help. You know, there's something inside of us that God put in there, a love for one another, to say, I want to help. I want to be a blessing. I want to encourage. You know, there are times when people are struggling and going through difficult times, and I think sometimes they don't want to even burden other people, quote unquote. They don't want to lay all of their burdens on their brothers and sisters. Maybe because, I don't know, the reasons would be, you know, well, they're going to think I'm not so spiritual, or I've messed up, I've sinned, and that's why I got these problems. And yet, you know what? If we can't turn to our brothers and sisters in Christ, who are we going to turn to? Going to turn to the people in the world? They're not going to build us up. They're not going to encourage us. Amen. So I want you to know, you know, we can help each other. And in the struggles that we go through in this life, in this time, we can be an encouragement and a blessing to one another. You know, every one of us have had times where we've been this close to just giving up and saying, I'm done with all of this. Maybe some of you are here this morning, you know, you're just kind of like, I'm going to give God one more shot. I'm going to go to church and just see if God will break through for me and God will help me. You know, He's here to help, but He helps through His people too. We need to cry out to Him, but we need to fellowship and hang out with each other. And that's why Paul is saying here, from these other kinds of people that are listed in this big long list, he says, from such people, turn away. You know, don't hang out with those people. You know, we're going to be in the world and we're going to be around people who are dealing with these kinds of things, but rather than hang out with them for fellowship, hang out with them for evangelism. Hang out with them to tell them that Jesus is good and Jesus has an answer for them too. Amen? Hallelujah. There's a reward for those that endure. Hebrews 10, verses 35 to 37. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Do not cast away your confidence. You know what? He's talking about the confidence in God. Confidence not in ourselves, not confidence in people. I mean, don't cast away your confidence in God. If there was a time when you really believe that God is faithful and that He's taking care of you and watching over you, don't throw that away. When times get tough, sometimes the devil tempts us to say, see, where's your God now? You just need to tell the devil, listen, Jesus is faithful. He's been with me. He's going to carry me through this. I'm going to be okay. It's all going to work out. So get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. Don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward. See, confidence in God has great reward. Hallelujah. For you have need of endurance. Now, there's one of those hard words, endurance. It doesn't even sound like fun, does it? Endure. endurance. You have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Jesus is coming. It's all going to be okay. He's going to take care of it. Amen. We just need to endure. We just need to have confidence in him and believe that he's on the throne and that he's watching. You know, I think sometimes the devil wants to convince us that somehow God has forgotten us or that we messed up this time so bad that God is just done with us. He's put us on the shelf and he's not really interested in helping us. That's not true. That's a lie. God, there was a prodigal son that Jesus talked about in one of the parables who messed up about as bad as you could possibly mess up. He took his share of the inheritance. He blew it on crazy living. He left his father, left his home, and he was having a good time. He was among some of these here, the lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure. And through all of that, he came to poverty, which is always the case. When people live for themselves, it always ends up in tragedy. It always ends up worse than it started. But that prodigal son finally came to the place of acknowledging his sin before God. You know, he even rehearsed a little speech for his father. He was going to go back to his father and tell his father, you know, Father, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven. And I'm not even worthy to be called a son anymore. If you just put me in one of the bunkhouses with the workers, you know, with the hired hands, that'll be okay for me. If I can just work for you and just have a place to stay at night, that would be good. But his father wouldn't have any of it. His father took him back. And I want you to understand that the heart of our Father in heaven, is that same heart that father had for that prodigal son. If you've messed up, if you've gone astray, you're just kind of going, well, I don't deserve anything other than just, you know, a roof over my head and maybe a meal or two a day. That's all I'm looking for, God. I'm not looking for great blessings. God is willing to restore and bless and help you to recover some of those things that the enemy has stolen, some of those things you even gave away willingly to the enemy. Amen. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Listen, the will of God for you, for me, is endurance. The will of God for you is hang in there. It's going to be okay. You just don't throw your confidence away. This God that we serve is bigger than every enemy that you've got. Amen? He's bigger than every enemy that you've got. Whether you're dealing with the struggles from the outside or the inside or all of them. Amen? God is bigger. God is able. Amen? Don't throw away your confidence. Hallelujah. Matthew 24, 9 to 13. This is a passage of scripture where the disciples had come at the beginning of the chapter asking Jesus, so what are going to be the signs of the end and what's all going to happen in the last days? Matthew 24, and I'm just going to start in verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another, and many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Hallelujah. But he who endures to the end will be saved. You know, that seems like a description of what's going on around us, doesn't it? Lawlessness. Everybody lives by their own rules. It seems as though if you tell people, hey, you're not doing it God's way, they don't even know God's way. Many will be offended and betray one another. I'll tell you what, that is probably one of the things that I've seen be the thing that causes Christians to stumble more than anything else is when they're offended, when they've been betrayed by people that they didn't expect to be betrayed by. It's unfortunate that times You know, Christians sometimes don't act like Christians. It doesn't mean they're not. It just means they just don't act that way. Sometimes they get caught up in their own little world and doing things their own way. It's a form of lawlessness also. When a Christian doesn't love and doesn't forgive and doesn't act like Christ, they're outside of the will of God. And it shouldn't surprise us too much that that happens. You know, I've been guilty of doing those things, and you've been guilty of offending. Maybe we don't go out intentionally to offend or to hurt or to harm, but I'm sure there have been times when we have been guilty of hurting others or betraying someone else, or we've been betrayed by others. You know, these sorts of things are the things that cause us to fall, cause us to walk away. You know, I've talked to a lot of people over the years, people who said, yeah, I used to walk with God, but then somebody in my family who's a Christian did this or that, or some pastor did this or that, or, you know, something happened. And people get offended, and rather than them handling that the right way to handle that, by the way, is forgiveness and love and prayer and trusting God. You know, it shouldn't surprise us too much that when we look to people, that we're going to be disappointed every once in a while. There are going to be times when people will do things that we don't understand, that don't make sense, that... some time ago, I was talking with someone about something that was going on in their life, and I was just trying to bring my perspective into the situation and say, you know, this is how I see it. And, you know, they received what I had to say and said, oh, yeah, thank you for pointing that out to me. I really appreciate that. I appreciate your concern for me. But it wasn't more than just a couple weeks later that I'd heard from someone else that that person was talking about me behind my back and saying, yeah, they're trying to run my life and tell me what to do, and, you know, they're doing this and doing that. And I was hurt. I thought, you know, in Christian love, I did what I felt was right, and I wasn't being cruel about it at all. And yet, this person that I had talked to betrayed me and stabbed me in the back when I wasn't looking. And I didn't expect it. And I think, by the way, that's not uncommon. That's going to happen. If it hasn't already happened to you, it probably will. There are going to be times when people will smile in your face, and the story is going to change in a week or two. You're going to hear something altogether different. You know, the word gets back to you about how they said this and that and the other thing. You know, you're going to have to decide ahead of time, am I going to be offended by that? Am I going to grow in this situation? You know, Jesus was wrongly accused. They put him on a cross. Amen. It's in times like that that we need to cry out to God. And at that time, by the grace of God, I did. I said, God, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know how to deal with this situation. You know, I see these people on a weekly basis. And, you know, I come in and they're smiling. Oh, hi, everything's wonderful. And yet, knowing what they've done, you know, behind my back, it was hard to deal with. And I said, Lord, I just don't know how to deal with this. And I felt like doing something to vindicate myself, you know, write a letter and send it out to all of the people that knew about the situation and, you know, to make it right, to give them the other side of the story and all of this kind of stuff. And I remember praying and I said, Lord, what do I do? And he actually, I opened up my Bible that morning. I think it was in the morning I was praying and opened it up, and there opened up to Psalm 43. And the first words of Psalm 43, vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Deliver me from deceitful and unjust men. And I remember reading that, and I'm going, okay, God, I hear what you're saying. I want you to be my vindicator. I want you to be my deliverer. I'm crying out to you for you to do that. So what do you want me to do? And God basically told me, don't do anything. Just trust me. Don't try to write your reputation. Don't try to make, you know, don't try to tell everybody your side of the story. Don't do anything. Allow me to vindicate you. And that happened. It didn't happen overnight, but it happened without me saying a word. God was able to vindicate me. God was able to cover for me. But I'm telling you, in the middle of that offense, that hurt that I felt, it was hard. It was hard to say, God, I forgive them. God, I just want to love them like you do. And I will tell you this. This is the bottom line to that story for me. And it can be the bottom line for your story. When God calls us to love people, it's not, He doesn't call us to love people who are lovable. You understand what I'm saying? He calls us to love people, period. He calls us to love them no matter what. No matter what they've done to you or done to someone else, he's called us to love people. And that experience for me was a lesson in the love of God, because I saw, as I prayed over the next couple weeks about that situation, and I prayed and I sought God, God taught me and gave me a love for those people that I never had before. At one point, they were just Christian brothers or sisters that I fellowshiped with. But after a period of time, they were people that I cared deeply about and loved. And the offense was kind of a distant memory. I mean, I still remember it, but it wasn't like I was holding something against them anymore. It was, I learned how to love, and I understood a little bit more about the love of God. I understood how God loves us. You know, sometimes we're not all that lovable. You know, even His children, we are not all that lovable sometimes. Sometimes we are willfully disobedient. Sometimes we just do things that we shouldn't do. And, you know, and God just keeps on loving us. Now, sometimes with that love, there's correction. You know, He does some stuff to get us back on the right path, and maybe allows a few trials here and there to come to us to get us straightened back out. But it's all about trusting God. It's all about enduring to the end. And that's what this Matthew chapter, in verse 13, it says, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." This whole thing of endurance, actually, I made a point in that whole passage of all those descriptions to speak to one issue, and I think it's an issue that maybe this is what the Holy Spirit is pointing out to all of us right now. That issue of offense, being offended. Be really, really careful, because Jesus said offenses will come. Jesus didn't say, don't worry about it. You'll never be offended by anyone. You know, you will be. Things will happen. Things that you don't agree with. Things that are unkind. Things that are cruel. You know what? Just learn how to love like Jesus did. Amen. Praise God. It's time to look up to the skies and for Jesus, for His return. Luke 21, talking more about the end times and all of that. Jesus is speaking here. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, in the earth, on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and its waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear, and the expectation of those things that are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. These things he's talking about, some of these signs that are, you know, in our earth today, but some of the other signs that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24. Offenses coming, people living in godless ways, lawless ways, cruel ways. When we see that rise up and we see more and more of that, we ought to be of the understanding that the Scriptures have for us. The understanding is this: Jesus is not that far away. That trumpet is about to blow. I don't know if it's going to be today. I don't know if it's going to be next week or next year. But Jesus, there's coming a time when he's going to, when that trumpet is going to blow, and he's going to come and he's going to take up his own. Amen. And you will be glad in that day if you've hung in there and endured. Like I said before, endurance is not necessarily easy, but it is certainly necessary. You need to endure. We need to endure. We need to hang in there until Jesus comes, or until we see him face to face. Then will be the coming of the Son of Man in a cloud with power and great glory. Hallelujah. The time of rejoicing is almost here. I read sometimes reading through the book of Revelation, and I read of what heaven looks like and about this great banquet that's coming and about, you know, the thousands and thousands and ten thousands as far as the eye can see before the throne worshiping God. I'm going, wow, this looks like it's going to be a good place. You know, sometimes I think we just need to remind ourselves of what's ahead. I think that's part of not being discouraged and not giving up and enduring. You know, there are times when people will endure great suffering and hard times because they've got their eye focused on the end. I'm thinking of sometimes, I wasn't much of an athlete in high school, almost a nothing, but I was on the cross country team at one point. And I remember, you talk about enduring, it's like, you know, when you're running a cross-country race and a couple miles or whatever it was, and you're just going as fast as you can, and you're thinking, I'm only halfway through the course, I'm halfway to the finish line, and I'm going to die right here and now. I'm not going to make it. But in your mind, I had a couple things in mind. One, the coach would not be very happy if I just bailed out here halfway through the race. And the other thing was, there's a finish line. There's something ahead. Now, I didn't have a lot of confidence that I was going to win because I was not that fast a runner, but there was still a finish line. There was still a goal. Every athlete that competes, you know, in the Olympic Games, they're competing with a goal in mind, and some of them endure lots and lots of trial, lots and lots of hardship over the years and practicing and whatnot. They hang in there because there's a goal in mind. There's something that they see. Listen, for us as believers, the goal is Jesus. It's to see him face to face. I mean, don't you want to see him face to face? And instead of him standing there before you with a frown on his face going, oh man, you could have done so much better. Why were you such a wimp? Now, I don't think he's going to say it quite like that. Amen? Wouldn't it be better just to hear him say, you know, you ran good. You ran good. Come on in. I think he'll still say, come on in. If you're one of his, he's still going to say, come on in, even if you didn't run as good as you should have. But there's a reward. And to me, at least this is one of the things that drives me. When things get busy and crazy and difficult and hard, there's one thing that I'm always thinking about. Jesus, one of these days I'm going to be with you. One of these days I'm going to be standing before you. And I'd like to be there in that day with no regrets. I've already got plenty. You know, I don't need to add to them. So today, God, help me to live for you. Help me to endure the trials. And that ought to be for every one of us. We ought to be saying, God, I know I'm going to see you soon. And I know it's going to be good. I've heard about the streets of gold, and that's nice. I've heard about a mansion, that's nice. You know, the sea of glass. But I heard about a Savior. I heard about a light in heaven. There's no sun there. You know, there's no moon there. The light is the Lamb of God. Amen. And that's what I want to be. That's where I want to be. That's what I want to see. That's my goal. And so whatever I have to go through in this life, if persevering and enduring these trials maybe actually causes some other people to come along and say, man, if you're going through all of that, there must be something to this. And I think that's part of our witness too in the world. When the world sees us enduring, sees us hanging in there, you know, when everyone else would have given up and you're not giving up, And they ask you, what are you, crazy? Or what's your problem? Why do you keep on doing this? I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see him one of these days. And I just want to do everything that I can to please him in this life. And if I have to endure a little suffering and get through it all to be more like him or to be a better witness for him, that's all. It's all about that. It's not about me. Amen. It's not about my pleasure. It's about his pleasure. Amen. That's why we were created, for his pleasure. Revelation chapter 7, a wonderful picture of this reward, this time coming. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. To me, that's one of the most comforting verses in the whole Bible. That there's coming a day when Jesus is going to wipe away our tears. When all of the difficulties, all the struggles that we've gone through will all vanish because he himself will wipe away our tears. I mean, I'm having a hard time even imagining that. You know, the creator of the universe, our God and our Savior himself, personally wiping away our tears and saying, it's all right, son, it's all right, daughter. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. And I just want to read one other psalm. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. Hallelujah. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, O Lord, may the King answer us when we call. Hallelujah. We will rejoice in your salvation. We will rejoice in the salvation that God has provided, and we will rejoice with each other. Amen. When we see each other pressing on and going together toward that goal of seeing Jesus, amen, we can rejoice together. We can hold each other up. We can walk with each other. Amen. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven and with the saving strength of his right hand. That's the confidence that we should have. That's the confidence that Paul was talking about before in Hebrews. Don't cast away your confidence. The confidence in, I know that the Lord saves his anointed. I know that the Lord takes care of his own. Amen. Even if I don't see it with my eyes right now, I know it's coming. Even if it hasn't happened the way that I thought, I know it's going to be good because God is doing it. God is working it all out for good. I just want to close with a verse. Hallelujah. This is from Romans 8:28. For we know that God works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Amen? It doesn't matter what you're going through. God's going to work it out. If your plan, your purpose, your heart is to serve him, to honor him, to be faithful to him, true to his word, amen, he's going to be faithful in making it all work out. Some of the most difficult things that I've ever gone through in my life, God has worked out for good. And some of them he's still working out for good. Some of them I haven't seen the end of them yet, the conclusion yet. But I know he's working it out. He's working it out for good. It's going to be all right. Amen? So I just want you to know that this morning. I want you to be blessed and encouraged this morning. That's really, at least my goal and my purpose this morning is confidence in God. Trust him. Don't be looking with what's going on with your eyes. Look at him. Amen. Let's stand up and let's just conclude in a word of prayer this morning. Hallelujah. Father, the Apostle Paul told us that we have need of endurance, Lord, and we don't want to cast away our confidence. And so this morning, Lord, we look to you once again. Lord, maybe we've been faltering. Maybe we've been looking at other places. Maybe we've been discouraged. Lord, forgive us for that. Forgive us, Lord, for being so earthly-minded, not looking to you as often as we should. Father, I pray that you would deliver us and rescue us from our own foolish thoughts. And God, that you would bring us into the place where we have confidence in you, where we can trust you even if we have no visual evidence that you're doing anything. God, that we could just say, we believe you, we believe your word, we believe Jesus when he said, I'd never leave you nor forsake you. God, we just want to believe what you say. We want to walk by faith and not by sight. And so, Lord, help us to be confident. Help us, Lord, to be encouraged this morning. Help us, Lord, to go with you. Hallelujah. You want to go with us, Lord. I know you do. And so help us to go with you. Help us to pursue you. Help us to pursue the things that please you, God. Father, I pray your blessing on us this morning, on your people as we conclude our service here this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen and encourage us. And Lord, I pray for your protection, that you would guard us from the fiery darts of the wicked one. When those fiery darts come, Lord, help us to allow the shield of faith to be standing up there and protecting us. Help us, Lord, to trust you. Father, we want to walk in confidence in you. We don't want to be discouraged and we don't want to fall away. So God, I pray that you'd help us. Hallelujah. Bless your people as we go this morning. Bless us in our day today and in our week. God, I pray that you would keep us in your love and your care. In Jesus' name, amen.